It is 7 minutes past six now. Checking this market, it's been a very strong finish to the week. We ended on the All Share above 52,000. It's 52,200, up by 0.8%. I mean, you'll remember just earlier this week, we were just happy that the market had managed to close above 50,000. So let's look at the Rand. It's at 15.39 to the dollar, 21.83 against the pound, 16.94 against the euro. Gold price, $1,269.21. Platinum, $966.80. And Brent crude, $37.27 a barrel. Wayne McCurry is with Momentum Wealth, joins us now. Hi, Wayne. A very strong finish to the week.
It actually has been strong. It's really been the resource shares, the gold shares, platinum, general miners, and to a lesser extent, the bank and financial that really propelled the market up from below 52 to the current 52,000.
Well, and what's given those particular sectors the momentum?
Well, look, the biggest single reason was they were just so completely bombed out halfway through January, and they were at record valuation lows.
Yeah.
Certainly the resource shares were, and the banks were probably almost as cheap as what they were during the financial crisis. So the biggest single reason why they've recovered is because they were simply so massively bombed out, you know, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Now, of course, whether this continues or not, you simply don't know. But there is some hope that it will, because not only have the shares gone from an oversold level, we've seen actual resource prices going up, and oil's the best example of that.
Yeah, I mean, could this be the start of some stabilization? It's been so volatile since the year started, Wayne.
Yes, I think so. I mean, volatility is always in markets. You know, and the same thing is, when you live markets day to day, like you and I do, you know, the current set of circumstances always seems the most volatile you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But volatility is part of the game. That's just part of the game. But it does look as though, as I said earlier on, that the resource cycle might be turning a little bit. And of course, if that continues, it's not only good for our mining shares, it's good for the whole country. Because should that happen, and resource price, the price of iron ore, etc., goes up, you'll see the rand stabilizing, maybe even strengthening a little bit. And then that takes the pressure off inflation, and it takes a lot of pressure off our economy. So we must hope and pray that it actually does continue, because that will be good news for the economy in general, not just for their mining and banking shares.
Certainly. And we're all waiting for the U.S. jobs data that came out. It looked pretty solid, ascending those markets up as well.
Yeah, the number was quite solid. Actually, the effect on our market was relatively muted. But yes, look, we all know the U.S. economy is growing. It's just the degree of strength that it's growing at that's a little bit debatable. But understand, there's no real pressure for the American Federal Reserve to up interest rates dramatically.
Yeah.
There's no inflation in the U.S. system. And even though there's big job growth numbers, actual wages growth is zero, if not slightly negative. So it's not as though the average person is significantly more well-off in America than what they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So by and large, the first increase is symbolic. I don't think there's going to be a flurry of increases in the U.S., there's simply no need to. There's no what's called demand-driven inflation. There's no excess demand in the system. So unless there's excess demand, you don't have to up interest rates. So Africa's really different. We've got high inflation because of the drought, because of the rand, because of Eskom, because of all these other things.
Yeah.
There's also no excess demand here, but we still have high inflation. So we've almost got no option but to increase interest rates as things stand now.
It's been a busy week on the corporate front. We started off, of course, with all the speculation about what Barclays PLC was going to do with its stake in Barclays Africa, and they put us out of our misery. What do you make of their withdrawal, which is going to take 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, well, look, they were very clever in one respect, saying, listen, we're not selling tomorrow. Hopefully over the next 2 or 3 years we can get a much better price, because they know the price is very suppressed.
Yeah.
I mean, the Barclays Africa share price it's got the worst rating out of all of the banks. And of course, they're also interested in the rand price, in the rand pound exchange rate. And, you know, you can argue that the rand is at the worst it's been, you know, for the worst overvalued level for many, many years. So obviously, they're hoping for a stronger rand and a better underlying price. So that they were quite clever as. But of course, where I think they're missing the boat here totally,
yeah.
Why sell when things are terrible in South Africa and things are terrible in Africa? You know, rather wait until things improve before you sell.
Yeah.
You know, don't sell at the bottom of the commodity cycle. Try and sell at the top of the commodity cycle. So I think they've got all their timing wrong in wanting to get rid. As I said, maybe they'll wait 2 or 3 years. But of course, if someone comes to them tomorrow with a decent
with
price,
with a decent price,
they're
yeah.
almost forced to sell because they told everyone they're going to sell. So, you know, so I think they are doing, unfortunately, what a lot of global investors do. They can't buy enough right at the top of the cycle. And at the bottom of the cycle, they can't sell quick enough. So, I mean, quite frankly, it's normal.
Who's going to buy?
That's the unknown.
Yeah.
That you don't know. It can't be another South African bank because the competition commissioner won't allow it.
Yeah.
Africa is not the flavor of the month at the moment, so I doubt whether a global buyer will come in. But maybe there's some local guy who's got a couple of billion lying around the place because it's certainly cheaper. You make no mistake. If you
yeah.
take a 10 or 20-year view, maybe even a 5-year view, APSA and all the other banks are incredibly cheap. I mean, roughly speaking, and it is a little bit rough here because it's not quite accurate, you can borrow money now to buy APSA, and within 3 years, you'll be cash flow positive because the dividends will start paying your interest.
Hmm.
Now, that's really cheap. Now, you've only got to fund a negative funding cap for 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
then the dividends, not the profit, eh? The pure dividends, will pay your loan, will pay the interest on your loan. And I mean,
yeah.
that's the
I wish I had a couple of billions yeah. lying around.
You know, 20 billion lying around.
Thanks, Wayne. We're going to have to leave
okay.
it there. Thanks for your time. Wayne Makari is with Momentum Wealth. We're going to be talking Ponzi schemes. That's the Friday call-in show today, focusing on Ponzi schemes. And we're going to take your calls. That number, 011-731-8502, 731-8502. Or you can SMS market to 34701.